Well, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be right here, right now. I want to thank you for this terrific blessing of being here with this people. I believe you have ordained this day, and you have ordained us being together. And we just pray that we can make the best of it and benefit from it to your glory in Jesus' name. Well, I've been resting from pulpit duty for a while, as most people realize. If there's anyone here that doesn't know, I had a little operation on my physical heart back on November 17th. And they literally took it out, overhauled it, and put it back. And it's just running on all 8 cylinders now, so I feel good about that. I need to give just a little bit of my testimony along that line before I go into the sermon, because I just feel like some of you want to hear it. But anyway, a lot of people, when they found out I went to the hospital for surgery, they were like, "Well, we didn't know you were sick. We didn't know you had, were having heart trouble." Or, well, I didn't know either. What came upon me to become heart trouble crept up on me over the period of about 5 years that I can now look back and recognize. As I look back and think about things that were going on in my lifestyle, effects on my person physically, I can now look back and realize that a lot of this started about 5 years ago, but it was so gradual, I would just adjust my lifestyle and think, well, I'm another year older, a couple mile an hour slower, whatever. And so over a period of about 5 years, I came to a place where too many people were recognizing that I was not acting normally. I come to church to mow the lawn, and if you take your time, it takes 5 minutes to mow the front lawn. And I would almost faint, literally, trying to push the mower 5 minutes. A lot of times I'd push it 2 minutes and have to stop and and I thought, well, I must be getting asthma or some kind of a lung problem, or I didn't know. And then I started having what my family calls angina. The medical field, most of them call it angina, which is when your heart runs out of blood and air and it goes into severe pain. And I started having that in around the midnight hour, 2 or 3 nights a week. And after, after a few days and got into a few weeks, well, people who care about me finally talked me into going to the doctor. I kept putting it off, because it had come so gradual that I would try to adjust for it. I even created my own series of breathing exercises and the right pills to take, over-the-counter stuff, to where I could fight the night attacks and get over it, And so I was fighting the good battle of faith without a lot of knowledge. But anyway, we finally went to the doctor, and right away after the first few minutes, he says, "We've got a problem here. We need to work on this." And he said, I normally would schedule someone like you to come back in about a week or two and we'd do a treadmill test. But he said, "I'd really like to do that today. If you can wait around a few minutes, I'm going to find a place to put you on the treadmill." And I said, "Well, let's do it. Do all we can today, fix it, and I'll go home, go to work." He put me on the treadmill, and I lasted 4 minutes, and they had to give me nitroglycerin to bring me back. So, we knew something was wrong. And for you in the medical field, a little bit about that. So anyway, the doctor just flopped down on the floor in front of me. When a doctor sits on the floor, it's like he gets your attention. I've never had a doctor do that before. He just sits down on the floor like he wanted me. Well, I'm in a sitting position because I was still recovering from the treadmill and the nitro. So he sits down right there and gets in my face, and he said, "We need to talk." So they send me to Tucson for an angiogram, which is where they put dye up your veins and into your heart, and they take pictures of it to see where the blood's flowing in your heart. So they said, while we're in there, we may be able to repair some things and do you a lot of good. Well, they weren't able to repair anything. It was too far along. And come to find out by that the front side of my heart was 80% blocked, and the back side of my heart was 100% blocked. And so I was running on a breath and a prayer. Breath and a prayer. So anyway, the same day as the angiogram, they scheduled me for surgery. They said, we can't wait. So anyway, we met the surgeon, a lovely lady, about 45-ish, I'd say, petite, blonde, very positive and very no-nonsense. And I could tell right away, this woman loves Jesus. And wasn't long till we were having fellowship along that line. And so anyway, she's the one that was responsible for taking my heart out and repairing it, putting it back. And I've not had any of the old symptoms, praise the Lord, since surgery. I've, of course, had, you know, 7-inch hole in my chest, you know, and all that goes along with that. You know, there's still sensitivity even yet, but. But as far as the angina, the nighttime attacks, the shortness of breath, all that, you know, the wild rhythms of the heart, all that's passed, and I'm just feel like I've been on vacation. And it's just been delicately lovely. And before, my heart rhythms would be so wild I could hardly sleep at night. And my heart would go boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. You know, I could be singing along with my rhythms, you know. It was wild. And it had come on me, so gradually that I just thought this was some kind of natural happening or something. But anyway, I'd gotten prayed for numerous times, you know, here and other places. In Mexico, all the pastors down there had prayed for me. You know, the healing lines are good. We need them. And I, like everybody else, I'm believing for my miracle. I didn't know exactly what I needed, but I come to the point, I need some help. So I'm believing for my miracle. Well, you know, I got my miracle. It just didn't happen the way I thought. I don't know if it has to do with my level of faith, where I am, my level of spiritual maturity, where I don't know how it all, I don't understand it all. I know I'm supposed to, I'm the pastor, I'm supposed to know all these things, but I haven't got it all figured out. But I know this, bottom line, even though it's different than I thought, I did get my miracle. And I want to praise God for that. Thank you, Jesus, for my miracle. And the many blessings that flowed with that was the amount of people that cared for me and prayed for me and loved on me and helped me. And our staff here at church and our pastoral staff here at church and the way they cared for you, that just blesses my heart immensely. I can't say enough about the hospital, St. Mary's Hospital in Tucson. It's a beautiful, beautiful atmosphere, beautiful place to be. A lot of Christian people working there. I had Christian nurses praying for me, a Christian surgeon working on me. You know, these things are good and uplifting, and it was just a very, very positive atmosphere. I don't know how many people, well, I do know about 4 people in the last 2 months have said, you know, while you were out, there had to be some spiritual things going on, and, you know, God was probably speaking to you, and you had some profound things you're going to share with us. Well, not really. I slept through it all. Yeah, it was just an open and shut case anyway, so I just slept through it. But I did come out of the whole thing and now look back on it in a very strange and unique way. And I'll say this out loud, and I think most of you will get it. But as I look back on my experience from surgery forward, especially the first couple of weeks, I felt like I was a baby in my mother's womb. Now, I was one time, but I don't remember the feeling until now. But a baby in his mother's womb has no care, no need. Everything's cool and warm and cuddly and satisfied and nourished. And the baby in the womb is well protected. Huh? Well, that, if I can look back on my experience and say, how was it? That's how it was. That's how it was. I was cared for that well by the hospital staff, by the medical field that worked with me, by our church family and our extended Christian family, our extended natural blood family. I was cared for like that baby in the womb. Now, it doesn't get much better than that. And again, I praise God for this type of care and for all of this. It was included in the miracle of me being here today. They have told me that I was lucky to make it as far as I did without medical help. You know, when your blood pressure is running well over 200, over 100, they say it's time to go to the doctor. And I was running like 211, 209, over like 103, 105. You know, my blood pressure was just going goofy. It was so bad that the doctor fainted. Three or four nurses fell over. You know, I'm playing games with you, you know that. Praise God for the medical field and for God's people who work in those fields. I praise him for it so much. I know there's a lot of people who don't even know Jesus work in that field, and I bless them. But for those who know the Lord, those that are led by the Spirit in the medical field, I'm telling you something, they could do you some good. You know, they told us on orientation, they said, you'd probably be in the hospital 7 to 10 days. You'd be in ICU for 2 or 3 days. Total stay 7 to 9 days. Well, I was in ICU 23 hours, total stay 4 days and night. And they just kept telling me, you're well ahead of schedule, you're well ahead of schedule, you're well ahead, you know. We've had a couple doctor's visits since then, you're well ahead of schedule, you're well ahead of schedule. Well, who gets the glory? Amen. God gets the glory. And I just praise him for all that. So anyway, that's in the short version of my last 6 weeks of being out of the pulpit. But one of the things the Lord blessed me with just prior to surgery was a theme for this year. And that's already been talked about quite a bit this morning. But it's exalting Jesus and expecting miracles. Actually, receiving, it came to me as exalting Jesus and receiving miracles. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going to need a miracle. And I believe he's given us a key. Anybody here expect to need a miracle this year? Well, I believe with all my heart the Lord has given us a key, a very important key, a master key, if you will, towards receiving the miracles that we are going to need. And that is to honor Jesus, exalt him, lift him high, put your focus on him. God has done many miracles from Genesis to Revelation. God the Father, God the Spirit, the angel of the Lord, the angels, plural, of the Lord. Miracles are what God does. He was the instigator, the inventor, the creator of miracles. That's just part of his nature. But if you want to know who's Lord of miracles, it's Jesus. Jesus Christ is Lord of miracles. And I just saw it in my spirit as the Lord began to minister to me along this line. He says, if you will exalt the Lord of miracles, you will receive miracles. And so I'm taking this as a master key that we can all use to help us receive what we're going to need this coming year. Amen? I want to talk to you just a few minutes and then cut it short, because the Lord told me to pray for you guys this morning. I want us to have a prayer line here in a few minutes, and I want to pray for you. I just really have it in my heart to pray for you. And if I do all my notes, we won't pray for you till 2 o'clock, so we're just not going to do that. But, you know, in the name of Jesus, we have God's authority on our side. At the name of Jesus, we have God's power on our side. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 28:18 that all power was given unto him, all power from heaven, all power from earth, all power, all authority. There's no authority that hasn't been given to the Lord Jesus. He is Lord of authority. By the name of Jesus, he and now we have access to heaven. That's a good thing. You may need this someday. Someday when you get to the pearly gate and meet St. Peter, you need to say, Peter, I want in. He's going to say, what's your credential? What's your, you know, do you have your ticket? Yes, it's called, I believe in the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we have access to heaven. You know, when Jesus came, by his name, he had access to heaven. Amen. He had access to the earth. He even had access to the realms of hell. He now owns the keys to hell itself. He's Lord of heaven, Lord of earth, Lord of hell itself. Hallelujah. This is good. Amen. And so the idea of Jesus Christ, even in our mouth and in our heart, gives us legal access to every right as a citizen of heaven. I tell you guys, we've got more power than we know what to do with. I want you to take this literally. Listen carefully to my words. We have more power than we know what to do with. We have more authority than we know what to do with. And he wants to open our understanding to these things so that we can start to know better how to do with authority. What to do with authority. What to do with his name and his power. Amen. He has called us as the church to be his representatives in the earth. And so he wants us to carry his authority. And he's given us his name and his authority to do that. And it's a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. Rather than go, Peter's back there on the computer, and if I start this, I may mess him up because I had it all in a good system, and now I'm going a whole different deal here. Peter, can you find in that sequence back there, Matthew 3:17? This was at the water baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. And suddenly a voice came from heaven. Guess who was speaking? God the Father. And what did God the Father say about the Son? This is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Okay, here's a very strong indicator that Father God wants us to look at the Son. It's a very strong indicator that Father God wants us to pay attention to the Son. Amen. Look at the next verse that's on that list, Matthew 17:5. This is on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus went up and took Peter, James, and John with him, and Moses and Elijah appeared to them on top of the mountain. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Suddenly a voice, another voice, this is God's voice again, came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." Here we have two beautiful scriptures in unity where God the Father is saying, here's my Son, listen to him. Here's my Son, check it out. Here's my Son, listen, watch, learn from him. Everybody said, amen. I want you to go to, if you can do the Peter, go to John 14:1. This is Jesus speaking of himself. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I want you to think about this. Jesus says, hey, you guys believe in God, right? Huh? You guys believe in God, right? Okay, well, believe in me. Now, they crucified him for saying things like this. The religious people of the day counted these words as blasphemous when he would make himself equal with God. But let me tell you something. We as the children of God need to pay attention to this. God wants us to believe in Jesus. God the Father was okay with Jesus saying, "You believe in God, now believe in me." Huh? What's the next verse in that lineup in John? Verse 6. And then Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through..." Through who? Through me. Yes, amen. Look at the next verse. Verse 7 through 11. "If you had known me," Jesus is saying, "if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him and have seen him." And Philip says, "Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be sufficient for us." And Jesus said, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me, he who has seen Jesus, he who has seen the Son has seen the Father." So how can you say, "Show us the Father"? Folks, this is pretty clear. God the Father wants our attention on Jesus. Are you okay with that? Now, the more you get into this, the more miracles you're going to get. Because exalting Jesus results in miracles. Amen. Look at the word, let's go to verse 13. 13 and 14. "And whatever you ask," Jesus says, "whatever you ask in my name, that I'll do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." The next verse, "And if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it." Jesus is saying, "Hey, God said, listen to me. Here's what I have to say." Wow. In John 16:15, "All things that the Father have are mine," Jesus speaking. "Therefore I say that he will take of mine and declare it to you." Let's go to John 17:21. Jesus here is praying. John 17 is a prayer Jesus prayed. And he's saying, "Father, that they may be all as one, may be all one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." This is Jesus saying, "Hey, you're looking for God. I'm here." Powerful, powerful. Amen. Verse 22. And he goes on to say, "And the glory that you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one." Wow. Verse 23. "I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." All of a sudden, God the Father, in presenting Jesus as God, is including us, the body of Christ, saying, "Hey, we're going to all get together here." We're all going to all get together here. You and me and us and them and me and we and you and him and us and us-ins. I'm telling you, he wants us in the picture. Well, look at John 16:13 while we're looking. Jesus is speaking of sending the Holy Spirit, and he says, "However, when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he, the Spirit, will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he'll tell you things to come." Here again, we have the Holy Spirit, and he will glorify me, And he'll take of what is mine and declare it to you. Here the Holy Spirit is taking what belongs to Jesus and saying, listen to this. Check this one out. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, God wants us to look at the Son in his entirety, in his completeness, in his fullness. I have another bunch of scriptures here in line that I'm not going to take time for this morning. Paul says things like, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus. Wow. Anybody ever wonder what God looks like? He looks like Jesus. Yeah, he looks like Jesus. Even Jesus' name, Emmanuel, means God with us. Not just the Son of God, no, God with us. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we have, you know, we have so many beautiful scriptures on exalting Jesus and how God himself exalts Jesus and how the Holy Spirit himself exalts Jesus. How Jesus, you know, in his own way is able to say, hey, not that he's exalting himself in a prideful way, but he's exalting himself in a God-fearing way, saying, look, God sent me here. What do you need? Well, I need something from God. Well, what do you need? I'm here to answer that. Well, I was going, you know, if God was here, if the Father was here, I had some things I wanted to talk to him about and some petitions to lay out before. Jesus said, hey, he sent me to take care of that. What do you want? Honor Jesus. Exalt Jesus. Respect Jesus. Lift high Jesus, and you're going to get the miracles you need. We need that. We need that. Now, in your bulletin, there's a list of things that the Holy Spirit was speaking to us concerning the year. And I encourage you to study those when you get home. But just in referring to that to in a small way, I see that this coming year we're going to see more awareness of God's presence by the Holy Spirit. We're going to honor the name of Jesus. That name is going to be lifted up, resulting in increase of miracles. And this is interesting, the increase in angelic activity. Angels interacting with people of all ages who have destiny in the kingdom of God. I like this one, abounding sin in the world. How many know there's abounding sin in the world? Well, it's going to have to face a more abounding grace in parallel. Huh? Yeah, because God told us that, didn't he? There's much that could be said here, but I want us to pray for a little bit, and then I want to call some people up for prayer. And if I don't call your name and you want prayer, you feel free to come. Don't feel left out because you don't hear your name. I just have to start with this. The only way I know how right now, but in my absence from the pulpit the last 6 weeks, I have missed you all. Even though I've been here in most of the services, even though I was here, I missed you. I don't know how to explain that, but I love you all so much, so dearly. There's never been a more wonderful people to shepherd. A more beautiful flock. And we have a lovely flock here. Lovely flock. And we even love the ones that need their wool washed. Father, you have been so good to us, Lord. You have been so good to us. And Lord, in that little short testimony I gave of what you've done in my life the last 6 weeks, Lord, you've been so good to me. It's just been amazing. I've been so well cared for that some people's feelings were almost hurt because I didn't let them come and care for me. But you can just use so many nurses. Lord, I've just been cared for so well. And Lord, you have cared for this church. This is your church first. You are the lead pastor here. You're the chief apostle here, Lord. You're number one. This is your flock, your people. And Lord, this ministerial staff, Lord, this pastoral staff, Lord, we belong to you. And we are instruments in your hand. Lord, this is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of many, I understand that. But Lord, we do not claim ownership ourselves. You are the owner of this church. You are the director of this church, the pastor, the shepherd. You are the prophet of prophets and the teacher of teachers, the evangelist of evangelists. And as I said, the chief apostle, Lord. Lord, you're the one. You're the one. And Lord, I pray, Lord, as we enter into this new year, let us take this message to heart. The message that you have given us. The message that we have been hearing you speak the last few days. The message we're hearing you speak this morning, Lord, by your Spirit, that honor Jesus, receive miracles. Honor Jesus, receive miracles. Lord, I want to take this into the new year. And Lord, I want this people, this lovely group of people, to take this into the new year. And when they come to that place in their life in the days to come where they really need a miracle, remind them that they can have that miracle by exalting Jesus. Lord, you said in one of Paul's writings that the Holy Spirit would remind us. You said in the very words of Jesus, the Holy Spirit would be here to teach us and tell us your will, to give us your message. And Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit will have open doors to our understanding so that we can hear the word and hear the message as the year progresses. Exalt Jesus, receive a miracle. Exalt Jesus, receive a miracle. Exalt Jesus, receive a miracle.